Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by Cameron Shaw and Lori Fisher. Dana.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely new year so far. And we also hope you can give us an hour of your very valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that's what we're looking for. So, please, we have two numbers. Just give us a call on one of them, at least. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we still have a toll free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just about every subject, but we tend to go more toward the arts and culture. Anyway, again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I also want to remind you of our email address. And since we are doing the show via Zoom tonight, your emails do pop up in front of me generally. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1. That is the numeral 1@gmail.com. So that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, just go to kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast, it should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight. I think David is sort of, it's like riding a bicycle. I think he sort of remembers how to do that. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. He uses his fingers. That's good. And that is, that will be at kalw.org and many other places. It's the many other places that sometimes gets in the way, but they should turn up in many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Okay. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw has been enjoying the start of Dungeness crab season and would like to know if anyone has tips on how to rid her house of crab smell. Simple. Just buy a bunch of lobsters.
Those aren't quite as plentiful in California.
Don't buy Dungeness crab. That would do it.
Yeah, you know, it's a little late for that.
I'm sorry.
When Nine Ladies Dancing appeared at his door this afternoon, Lori Fisher once again realized how foolish he was to think that Christmas ended on Christmas Day. In fact, thanks to his true love's daily gifts, he knows that there are still three more days to party on.
There are. I never can quite keep up.
You're going to get some drummers tomorrow, I think.
I will. Yeah. I hope the neighbors don't mind. And for our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, it wasn't much of a contest. See you in the new year or dream it in. Guess which one.
That's right. That's me. All right. Let's see. We'll begin with Cameron Shaw.
Okay. I haven't done a list question in quite a while, so I'm going to start with one I've been holding on to. I'm wondering, what were the original rides that were available on Disneyland's opening day in 1955? To my knowledge, they are all still active rides at the park.
How many are we looking for?
10. I'm sorry. I should have said that. 10.
Well, I'll take one guess, I think, is the Matterhorn.
No, not the Matterhorn. I'll give you each two guesses. How about that? Right. Not the Matterhorn.
Well, does something like the Main Street Trolley, does that count? Is that a ride?
I don't think the trolley counts as a ride. It is not on this list.
I'll give you my personal favorite, which is, or the two personal favorites, which are the low rent rides, the teacups or the Mr.
Yes.
Toad's Wild Ride.
You got two of them, the Mad Tea Party right, and good. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
There we go.
Okay, my second guess will be then. Well, let me think here.
When was the last time you went to Disneyland?
Around the time you were 5 years old, I think. But this is before that, even. It's probably should be the first time you went to Disneyland. So Pirates, I'm going to guess Pirates of the Caribbean.
That is not one of them. That's a great guess. Yeah.
Based on the movie?
Cameron's very charitable. It's a terrible guess.
Why?
I think that was the last ride before the movie, wasn't it? It's definitely before the movie, but I think that was the last one that Disney oversaw the creation of. There's some other trivia thing about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow. You have made many brilliant guesses, but that wasn't one.
That wasn't one. Okay. I can accept that.
Okay, so just repeat the question if you would.
Okay. I am looking for the 10 original rides that were available on Disneyland's opening day in 1955.
And so far we have?
So far we have the Mad Tea Party, which is the spinning teacups, and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
And two terrible guesses from Lori,
which were the Matterhorn and Pirates of the Caribbean.
I like to leave them out there for the audience.
Just to be clear, all those rides are still available.
I believe so, yes. I haven't been to Disneyland in 5 or 6 years, but I believe so.
Well, quadruple that, and that would be me. Yeah. So, okay. And Lori, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm continuing with the Christmas theme and end of the year theme for my first question. I'll ask my list question later. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that really famous, wonderful Christmas carol, was written by whom? For what event? That's my first question. So Hark the Herald Angels Sing was written by whom? For what event? I won't tell you the year. And both of these are from Sue Schweik. Give her credit. It's the melody that we're talking about.
Oh.
And then, the melody.
Okay.
The lyrics, yes, we'll leave the lyrics off. And the other question is, according to Reddit, that kind of great, I guess, social media site, what were the two books that were mentioned most this year? One is a nonfiction work from 1936, and the other is a children's book. So this is a kind of end-of-the-year compendium of, and that's my end-of-the-year question. What book was mentioned the most? Books mentioned most. Children's book is one, and a 1936 nonfiction work is the other.
Just to be clear, when you say mentioned, what does that imply?
People talk about it. They recommend it. They enthuse about it. They joke about it. So that's in the kind of chit chat that goes on about books. That's what that means.
Is this in the Trumpist way of people talk about things?
No.
I mean, is it like mentions in literary magazines or that stuff?
Both of them are well known to everybody, and I don't think we would have a problem in that way. They're not scary or oh my God, people are reading that. I wouldn't ask that otherwise.
Okay, so just go over everything once more.
Okay, so question one is, who composed the music for Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and for what event did he or she compose that music? And the other one is, on Reddit, which is a massive site, which two books were mentioned the most in two categories? One is nonfiction, and the hint that was from 1936, and the other one is which children's book?
All right. I do not know what event it was composed for, but I think the author of Hark the Herald Angels Sing is John Wesley.
It's not. He's mentioned, but I think Wesley rewrote the lyrics.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Hmm. Okay. When you say children's book, do you mean picture book or like children's novel?
I mean picture book.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I was going to guess like Huckleberry Finn or something.
No, it's much more children-y, you know, much younger children.
And is it a recent children's book or like a classic?
I believe it was read to you when you were a child, but was not read to me or Dana when we were children.
Okay, so is it perhaps one of the Dr. Seuss books?
It is not.
Okay. Hmm.
1936.
Yeah, so 1936 is the nonfiction, and the children's book is more recent than that.
Oh, okay.
Cameron's childhood.
So 80s. We'll go with 80s.
I don't know exactly, but okay. You know.
1936. And that's a nonfiction book.
Correct. And quite well known.
Is it an advice book?
Yes.
So is it How to Win Friends and Influence People?
It is. Very good. Oh. That is the one.
I mean, that's basically the oldest advice book in the world.
So, I think so. Well, older than Ann Landers. Give yourself a bell for both.
All right.
Dale Carnegie. Okay. So we're still looking for the children's book most mentioned on Reddit. And we're looking for Who Composed the Music for Hark the Herald Angels Sing and for what event and what was the composer paying tribute to when he or she composed that music.
All right.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi there, it's Steve in Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Cameron. Thanks, same to you. Cameron, I have a bunch of answers for you. How many?
Great.
Do you want me to leave it to two or?
Let's say three. How about that?
Okay. The Disneyland Railroad.
Yes, excellent.
And King Arthur Carousel.
Yes.
And great. Let's go with Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, you got three of them. Excellent.
Steve knows his rides.
I'll leave the rest out. Yeah. Were you there when Disneyland opened on opening day?
No, I was actually born the day after Disneyland's 10th anniversary.
So. Excellent.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay.
Good job.
Thank you. Okay, question for you. Mm-hmm. What was the first song to be awarded a gold record?
Well,
I have lots of hints if you need them.
So. Well, is it Chattanooga Choo Choo?
Yeah, you didn't need any of my hints.
Oh, nice. All right.
Wow.
Really good.
Impressive.
All right.
What year
42.
Is
42.
Right. The song was released in 41. It was featured in a movie in 41. I'm sure you know what that movie that was.
It's Sun Valley Serenade.
That's right.
Okay.
And so it was awarded the gold record in 1942 for sales of
a life well spent, as you can tell.
1.2 million copies sold. Okay, thank you.
That's a lot.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. It seems like 7 because it gets dark outside now, but it really is 5. And we do hope you can join us. I neglected to say at the top of the show that you should call as early as possible. That's generally the best way to get on. We don't like to leave people hanging toward the end of the show. So if you find a free moment, dial up if you have a question or answer for us, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Also want to mention our panel tonight. That would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, let me give you a couple questions here. So the first one is, what is the most common first and last name combination in the U.S. that begins with the same letter? So in other words, the first name and the last name both begin with the same letter. So I'm looking for the most common for a man and the most common for a woman. What is the most common first and last name combination in the U.S. where the first and last name begins with the same letter? So I'm looking for the most common for the man and the most common for the woman.
You're not just looking for the letter. You want the actual name, no?
Yeah, I want the actual name. So as in, for instance, if I said the most common for the man is Sam Smith. I mean, that's S for the first name, S for the last name. So, yes. So once more, what is the most common first and last name combination in the U.S. where the first and last name begins with the same letter?
Well, I was going to say Jim Jones, but I think that's probably off the table. So I'm going to say James or Jim Jackson.
No, you are on the right track, however.
Am I in the right letter?
No, I'm just saying you're on the right track.
Okay, so either the Jackson or the Jim is correct.
Right.
That's what I'm taking the hint at.
Okay, let's go with Jackson. I would think Jackson.
Or how about, okay, go ahead. You take a guess, Cameron.
I was going to say, although now I'm rethinking it.
Could be Johnson.
I was going to say Susan Smith. But then Dana used Smith as an example, so now I don't think it's that.
Yeah, it is not Susan Smith.
Okay.
All right. So that's the first question. Second question. What is the last winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to have at least two films with the same name made previously? What is the last winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to have at least two films with the same name made previously to that? I will say it's in the 21st century. Okay.
And it's the same exact name, right?
Exact name. Yes. The same exact name.
Yeah. Okay.
So Cameron, name all the films that have won in the 21st century. And well,
you have one guess each.
Okay.
Oh man, one guess each. Okay.
And are they? Can I ask if they were remakes or they just happened to have the same name?
No, they were not remakes. They just happened to have the same name. Not a remake. I should have said that.
Okay.
While you're thinking about Avatar. Once more, two questions. What is the most common first and last name combination in the U.S. where the first and last name begins with the same letter, as in Sam Smith? So what is the most common for the man and what is the most common for the woman? And what is the last winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to have at least two films with the same title made previously? Exact same title, although they are not remakes of anything else.
The most recent one that I can imagine might have a different film made of it would be Parasite. Is that one of them?
It is not. You know, I tried to look that up, and there may have been another film named Parasite, some horror film or something, but not two versions of it anyway.
Yeah, okay. So. Okay.
Yes. How about on the male name? How about James Johnson?
James Johnson is correct.
Wow, nice work.
Good job. So we're still looking for the woman. James Johnson is the most common first and last name combination in the U.S. that begins with the same letter for a man. Yes, very good.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, Nancy.
And I've been trying to get on with this correction since Eid made it probably a month ago, but I could never get on in time. Anyways, the correction had to do with Hanukkah, and he said that it was the Romans that the Maccabees were fighting against. It was the Assyrians, and the general or the top dog's name was Antiochus. So that was my correction.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And I believe Felix Mendelssohn wrote Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
He did.
Excellent.
Give her a bell for that. Nice. And do you know what event he was commemorating?
No, I do not know that.
You get a full bell and somebody else will get the rest. Very good.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Nice Jewish boy.
Oh, David, when you have a chance, sort of put up on the screen how many calls we have, just so I'll hold it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
He's speaking with the devil. Yeah, I was incorrect. But actually, yeah. My interest at call really, how women played big roles in the whole human history. And my interest in that call was this: women played big role, in Hanukkah, including beheading one of the general and all of that stuff that made it possible for that great celebration to take place. Okay, so today let's go back to one question to you and one question to your audience. My question to you is about cars, for difference. Many, many years ago, I asked that. Tell me what the company, what the car is made and what the letters stand for. BMW.
British?
It's Bavarian Motor Works.
Bavarian
Motor Works. Well, that's the English sort of translation.
No. BMW is not British.
Bavarian.
That's what he said.
Bavarian. What country?
Germany.
Yeah. No. I bought my first BMW in 1973 from down here in Berkeley. I never drove better cars than BMWs. Mercedes too. Okay. What about Mercedes? Where is it made?
Well, it's made in. I mean, the country.
What country?
We all know it's made in Germany.
Germany.
Yes.
Germany. Okay, what about, who's Mercedes?
Mercedes was the daughter or the granddaughter of the...
Demir Benz?
Of Benz, yeah.
No, actually, you have correct. No, she was the
or
daughter
Daimler.
Of...
Maybe it was Daimler and Benz.
Demir Benz, yeah. Yeah, right. You know, whenever I buy one of those cars, you have a signature on the window. And actually, it was the daughter of one of his biggest importer, Hungarian dealer, Mercedes dealer. She All was right. the daughter. Okay, what about Rolls-Royce?
British, right?
Yeah.
Rolls-Royce, British. Okay. BMW, Mercedes, great car. Rolls-Royce, I bought one some years ago, and they're not that good. They're just a name. All right, question to the audience, very quickly. In physics, what is Fermi paradox? If you know very quickly, can tell me. Fermi paradox.
Cameron looks like she knows.
Leave it to the audience. What about the twin paradox? Maybe I can do that one. Twin paradox.
The twin paradox?
Yes.
In physics? It's
twins,
in physics.
Yeah, twin. Yeah. It has something to do with the speed of light. Ooh. Should I give you the answer? Or should we leave the audience?
Wait a minute. There's a Fermi problem, and there's a Fermi paradox. Are those two different things? Because the problem is something to do with finding civilizations someplace in the galaxy.
Well, the same thing.
Is it the same thing? Okay.
Yeah, Fermi paradox and Fermi. Oh, yeah, okay. It's really called paradox. So, well, can you tell me what Fermi said? Just two words. He said two words.
Don't know.
No way.
Yeah. Where are the three words? Where are they?
That's three words.
So Fermi was skeptical of the whole thing. Where are they? How come we don't have leftover, you know, little tiny flying saucer broken somewhere or something? How about twin paradox?
No.
I will give his answer very quickly because I don't think many people know that. Okay, so here, Diana, you take a flight to our nearest star in going near the speed of light, and you come back. And then you find that your brother... 100 years old, and you only age about 10. Mm-hmm. Okay, so something, time changes with speed. Does everyone understand it, what the twin paradox is?
Well, so it means that time moves differently in different areas of the galaxy, or the universe.
Yes.
Is that
very
what
good.
You're looking
great
for?
Show. Okay. Happy New Year. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You,
Happy New
Take
Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. And Cameron, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. From 1917 to 1945, what explosion was used as the standard by which all other explosions were measured? So this is an explosion that occurred in 1917. And for example, the bombing of Hiroshima was reported as being 7 times as powerful as this explosion. Sorry, go ahead.
Was it Vesuvius?
No.
So you're saying, just to be clear, you're saying the explosion occurred in 1917, correct?
Yes.
So between that and the atomic bomb dropping, I assume that's the 45.
Yes.
That was the the largest explosion known to us. Is this a man-made explosion?
It was a man-made explosion, yes. Oh.
And if it's 1917, then it makes me think it's the munitions explosion at Halifax Harbor.
Oh, you got it. Yes. Excellent. Okay. So it's the, the Halifax explosion, and Hiroshima was 7 times as powerful as that.
Only 7 times.
That's interesting, actually. Yeah.
Good job.
Okay. All right. Give us another question then.
Okay. On the subject of explosions, what is the only ghost town that is also the official capital of a political territory? And it's a ghost town because it was destroyed by a volcano.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
So say it again.
What is the only ghost town, and it's a ghost town because it was destroyed by a volcano, that is also still the official capital of a political territory?
So you're saying political territory, you're avoiding using the word country, right? Or state?
Yeah, I mean, it's belongs to
it's kind of governed by the United Kingdom. So that'll give you a bit of a hint. But it is also independent, you know.
I'm not sure. I don't really know what it is, but I suspect it's in the Caribbean.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll just step back and think about that because I don't know really know what
which one it is.
Okay, just repeat that question if you would.
Okay. What is the only ghost town that is also the official capital of a political territory due to its destruction by a volcano?
All right. Okay. But this is not necessarily an island, is it?
It is. Well,
it is an island.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is an island. It is part of a group of islands.
At first, I thought maybe it was British, what's now called Belize. It used to be called British Honduras.
No.
Because they moved their capital after something happened. I don't know what it was. But okay.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter calling from the Eastern time zone, the same time zone as Chattanooga, by the way.
Okay. You know, with the choo-choo?
The other one, it's such a long east-west state, like Knoxville, or Nashville and Memphis are in the central time zone. Just to let you know, Chattanooga. Hey, okay, here's my question. What do these people have in common? Betty White, Ed Asner, and Gavin McLeod.
They were all on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Mm.
And?
They're all dead.
Did they all win Emmys?
Dead and what?
And Emmy winning.
No, stay with dead.
Dead and?
I don't think Betty White's buried yet.
When did they die?
Oh, on New Year's Eve?
No, they didn't all die on New Year's Eve.
I mean, it's not impossible.
I mean, it's no slam on you, Cameron, but they didn't all die on New Year's Eve. They all died. Ed Asner, they died the same year. Is that sort of what you're thinking?
Yes, that's it. They all died last year.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And what do these three people have in common? Betty White, Gavin McLeod, Ted Knight, and John Amos.
Well, John Amos is still alive.
Right.
They're also all on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, so it's not that. Well, that will start there.
They're all, and they have other things. Well, first of all, what were their titles? What did they do on the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Well, let's see. Ted Knight was the news broadcaster.
Gavin McLeod, the anchor man.
Yeah, Gavin McLeod was the chief writer, I think.
Yeah, he was the writer.
Betty White was the happy homemaker.
Sue Ann.
John Amos was the
homemaker.
Yeah.
John Amos was the sports reporter.
Yeah.
You would think. I thought he was too. He's not.
Weather. He's either the weather.
Oh, was a weatherman? Okay. All right.
He was the weatherman. So John Amos is the only one. Oh, what was the station where they were?
Don't remember. Don't remember
obviously
the call.
It's Minneapolis.
WJM. Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Good. Wow. Good for you.
I would expect it would have been a K, but WJM is correct. And let me leave you with this, Cameron.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
In what movie does somebody say, "Tie me a sheepshank"? And what is a sheepshank?
I need a sheepshank.
What's a sheepshank?
And who said it?
Gosh. I'm not sure.
Well, he only asked you. So
yeah, he only asked me. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. this character says, "Tie me a sheepshank."
Nope. We don't know.
Wow, yeah. I'm not sure. Sorry.
Okay. It's Quint. Remember, he says it and he throws a piece of rope to Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, sure, okay, that's good.
It's a type of knot. And, of course, the actor, I didn't know if the actor was related to you, Robert Shaw, not related
to
you.
No, I would love him to be, but I don't think he is.
A long
shot. Okay, enjoy.
Great question, right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
How about George Bernard Shaw? Are you related to him?
You know, I like to tell people that I am. I think at some point we've thought that we were, and I haven't corroborated that. So I should look into that. Yes.
Look into that.
Yeah.
And Laurie, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, I do have a list question here. It's an end of the year list question. These are, I'm going to give you the last lines of really well-known movies, and I want you to tell me the movie. I have seven of them, and one of them, I'm not going to say which one, is a silent movie. So that might help or not. The first one is, I get to live out the rest of my life as a schnook. That's number one. Number two is, yes, I can see now. Number three is, I'll be right here. Number four is, mediocrities everywhere. I absolve you, I absolve you, I absolve you, I absolve you all. Number five is, join us and live in peace or pursue your present course and face obliteration. The decision rests with you, Gorte Berengo. That's the big hint on that. Two more. Yes, I'd rather be dead than living with you for all the things you've done. I know I should hate you, but I don't. I pity you. And the last one is madness, madness. So we'll let you get, I'll read them again quickly, and I'll let you get, maybe two each. I get to live out the rest of my life as a schnook. Yes, I can see now. I'll be right here. Mediocrities everywhere. I absolve you and a bunch of those. I absolve all of you. I absolve you all. Join us and live in peace or pursue your present course and face obliteration. The decision rests with you, Gorte Berengo. Yes, I'd rather be dead than living with you for all the things you've done. I know I should hate you, but I don't. I pity you. And madness, madness. Maybe two each.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Okay. I'll
Dana
be right.
Might be able to run the table, so that made me.
Yeah, he has that tone in his voice.
No, I don't. Believe me, I don't.
I'll be right here is E.T., the extraterrestrial.
It is. Very good. On that.
I have a guess on the mediocrity one. Is that is that Amadeus?
It is. Okay. Really good.
I'm give not sure if I know any others.
Yeah. Give her two bells on that one for Dana.
Okay.
That's two. How about you?
Well, the easy one is the day the earth stood still, which is the mention of David knew that. The Gort, because you mentioned Gort, the robot.
Yeah, the Gorte Berengo. Yeah. I probably should have just added that. That is the day the earth stood still.
And the madness, madness one is a movie I like, and I think it's the same, which is The Wind and the Lion.
It's not. Which is to say, I don't, that's not
they,
what I have.
They use that line at the end of The Wind and the Lion.
Okay. Give yourself half a bell, because this is a better-known movie than that, I would say.
Okay. Now. And the I'll Be Right Here.
That was the E.T. one.
That was E.T.
Yeah.
Cameron.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Huh.
Maybe it's another movie, too. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is. Well, no, I'm sure you're right. Would you go over them all?
Yes, I get to live out the rest of my life as a schnook. That's actually my favorite one. Yes, I can see now. Yes, I'd rather be dead than living with you for all the things you've done. I know I should hate you, but I don't. I pity you. And madness, madness.
All right, I got to think about that.
Okay, we'll leave those out. These are all movies all of you have seen. I would say that for sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and one is a silent.
And one is a silent film. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh. All right. Okay. Would it give it away if you said which one was a silent film?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, okay.
We're still early. I'll give that hint later on.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I think there's language in the final line that would tip you off.
All right. Oh, you don't have to repeat that, but let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay, I am looking for the original rides available on Disneyland's opening day in 1955. We already have the Disneyland Railroad, Jungle Cruise, King Arthur's Carousel, the Mad Tea Party, and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So there are five left. And then I'm also wondering, what is the only ghost town that is also the official capital of a political territory due to its destruction by a volcano? And Laurie and Dana reasoned that it is an island in the Caribbean. So.
just Dana on that. I'm not taking
Sorry, Dana.
Okay. I have, we now know, thanks to the caller, that Felix Mendelssohn composed the music for Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He did not compose it for anything related to Christmas. What event was he commemorating? And then read it. Dana got that the book most mentioned work of nonfiction on Reddit this year was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie in 1936. We're looking for the children's picture book that Cameron read in her childhood, but David, me and Dana did not, I don't think.
So is it something like Make Way for Ducklings or something like that?
No. The little hint I'll give you there, it's a little irreverent. So Make Way for Ducklings, I don't know when it was written, but we could have had that when I was born. But this one, I think, would have been a little too shocking.
So I think Cameron mentioned Dr. Seuss. So it's not Dr. Seuss.
It's not Dr. Seuss.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. A little more shocking. I could go a lot of directions with that, but...
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what is the most common first and last name combination in the U.S. where the first and last name begins with the same letter? I'm looking for the most common for the man, most common for the woman. We got the man, and I've already got that, which is James Johnson. What is it for the woman? So most common combination of first and last name where the first and last name begins with the same letter. Second question, what was the last winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to have at least two films with exactly the same title made previously? And I will say that this is a film that was made in the 21st century. Okay? So keep that in mind. The last winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to have at least two films with the same title made previously. Though there's no relation between any of the films.
On the man, woman, same letter, can you tell us whether the woman is vowel or consonant?
Good question.
As in the first letter, is it a vowel or a consonant? Is that what you're asking?
It's
a consonant. So, okay. I'm going to give you I'm sure you'll dispose of this. Well, at least a couple of them pretty quickly. These are Dr. Seuss characters. So what I'd like you to do is tell me what Dr. Seuss book they can be found in. All right. So again, these are Dr. Seuss characters. You each get one guess. What Dr. Seuss books are these characters found in? Number one, and they're all different books. Number one, Marco, just Marco, M-A-R-C-O. Number two, Morris McGurk. Number three, The Humming Fish. Number four, King Derwin of Did. And number five, Thing One and Thing Two. So again, these are Dr. Seuss characters. They're from five different Dr. Seuss books. Tell me what books they can be found in. I'll give you each one guess. Number one, Marco. Number two, Morris McGurk. Number three, Humming Fish. Number four, King Derwin of Did. And number five, Thing One and Thing Two. All right. And
okay.
Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. All right. Well, I will take the low hanging fruit here because there are so many books that so many of these names could be in. Can I guess two or one?
One.
Okay.
For now.
Okay. Well, then
take the higher hanging fruit.
Okay. I'm going to guess the humming fish is in One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
No.
Okay. Is it, can I guess the same word with a different book?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean,
is it in McGilligot's Pool?
It is not.
Ah, okay.
Is Thing One, Thing Two in One Fish, Two Fish?
That is not. It is not, I should say.
That's my guess. I don't know. That's the one I knew, so I didn't get that right.
All right, once more, these are Dr. Seuss characters. Please tell me what Dr. Seuss books they can be found in. Number one, Marco. Number two, Morris McGurk. Number three, The Humming Fish. Number four, King Derwin of Did. And number five, Thing One and Thing Two. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Fran. Happy New Year.
Fran. Good, thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, thank you. I want to know Jerome Robbins' birth name.
Well, I don't know. He was Jewish. I don't. Did he change his name? I don't know.
The last name.
Is it real? Is it Russian?
It's Jewish. I'll just say that.
I don't know.
Is it any relation to Robbins? I mean, does it sort of sound like that?
It begins with the same letter.
Yeah.
But is it an Americanized name like Rubenstein or something like that?
Yeah,
no,
that's
no.
Probably what I was thinking.
No, but is it more European in its own?
Yes.
Like Rabinowitz
yes.
or something like that?
Yes.
Oh,
hey, good.
There you go.
The bell for you. That's great. All right.
I went to school with Nancy Rabinowitz. I don't think she's related, but you never know.
I'm going to give you five names. Warren Beatty, Robert Redford, Richard Chamberlain, Burt Reynolds, and George Pappard. Now, these people have something in common. It has nothing to do with a movie they starred in.
Anything to do with a movie they did not star in? Were they all considered for the same role?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. What are the names? Warren Beatty, Robert Redford, Richard Chamberlain, George Pappard, and who's the other?
Burt Reynolds.
So none of them starred in the movie.
They were vying for a certain role.
Was it The Graduate?
No.
Were any of them in the movie but not in that role?
No.
No, okay.
And were they all youngish? Is it a 60s movie like The Graduate? Kind of
it was before
movie?
The Graduate, actually.
Okay.
All right, so it's probably a 60s movie, right?
Yeah.
Early 60s?
Early 60s.
If you told us who got the part, we'd know, right? Burt Reynolds. That's early for Burt Reynolds in the early 60s, isn't it?
It was a movie
Burt Reynolds
and
is younger
play.
Than all those guys.
This is a movie and a play, but this is the movie role.
How about Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? No, that doesn't work.
No.
Okay.
Was it a comedy, like a Barefoot in the Park kind of comedy? Serious play?
Yes. Okay, it's a musical.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a surprise.
You mean West Side Story or something like that? How about West Side Story?
Really? Tony and West Side Story?
I'm sorry, Tony. For Richard Baymer got the role for Tony. And there were 40 competitors.
Interesting.
Right.
And these were the top five.
That's I can see maybe Richard Chamberlain, but maybe. But yeah, everybody else is.
I didn't think
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, was he on the scene? I guess he was. He was a TV kind of guy. Yeah, looks a little like Richard Baymer.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
that's
They didn't expect he would get it, but he did get it for some reason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he could probably sing the best.
They also didn't think that Natalie Wood would get it, but I don't remember all the people who competed.
Right.
Because.
She was sure
anyway, let me ask you a silly question. Who wrote Auld Lang Syne?
Ooh.
My friend told me this the other day.
Well, Robert Burns
yes.
is the...
Yes.
But he didn't write the music. He just
I don't think he wrote...
Poem,
no, he wrote the lyrics, right. I mean, he wrote the poem, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, you got them all. Happy New Year, and may we all be well. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Fran. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Kay from Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I've got some guesses on the Disneyland rides.
Okay.
Submarines.
No, not the submarine ride. I love that ride. But
okay.
Good guess.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan's Flight is one of them,
good.
Yes.
Good.
How about the rocket ships?
Not the rocket ships.
I think
Tomorrowland came in later, I believe.
Okay. How about Dumbo?
Not Dumbo.
Okay. How about the Tom Sawyer keelboats and the riverboat that goes around the river?
The riverboat is, yes, Mark Twain's
nice. Riverboat. Oh, okay. Yeah. Great, great.
Nice.
And did we decide, is the Matterhorn not one of the ones that was original?
It is not one of the ones that is original. Oh. It may be the first of the roller coasters, but it's not an original ride.
Oh, great. Well, thanks. That's all I've got on Disneyland.
Thank you.
And then thing one and thing two is from Cat in the Hat.
Yeah. Cat in the Hat. Yes, that's right. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And King Derwin is from? 500 Hats of Bartholomew. Oh, the 500 Hats of Bartholomew. Yeah. That's
right.
King Derwin.
Okay. He actually appears in a couple of books, and Bartholomew and the Oobleck and the 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cummins. So he's in both of those. So very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And okay, who has a short question? That they would like to. All right, Lori.
All right, this is a caller call with a Betty White.
Lori's hand is always up. I don't know.
On this one, yeah. So Betty White, they replayed her hosting Saturday Night Live last night.
Oh, I saw that. It just proves that the show was much better 10 years ago.
It was good. And so she was the oldest host. Who are the next three oldest women hosts of Saturday Night Live after Betty White, who was 88 when she did it? Two of them only going to get two of them. One is is the only non-celebrity. I'd be shocked if you knew that. But the other two are really famous.
Well, the one that's the non-celebrity, and I don't remember her name either, but it was she won the contest for anybody could host Saturday Night Live. This was
that's great.
This was like 1970 something.
It was 1977. Her name was Miskel Spellman, and she was 80. You're exactly right. And it was a little bit like Betty White saying she got the job because so many people on Facebook were pushing for it. So you got the impossible one. The other two are really well known. So who are the next two oldest after Betty White and Miskel Spellman, who hosted Saturday Night Live?
Okay.
Okay. I know Candace Bergen has hosted, but I don't know how old she was.
She's
when
not
she did.
Nearly old enough.
Okay.
Yeah. She was, I think, in her 30s when she did it. Maybe five times, but nothing.
Yeah,
now, one of these women was 80 and one was 65. So, you know, they were of age.
Of age.
And and they're movie stars. They're well known.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter Embernall.
Hi, Peter.
Got a couple of wild guesses.
Okay.
Madness, was that Apocalypse Now?
It was not, but you're kind of in the right genre, I would say.
Oh. I have a guess.
Another guess for the Best Picture winner that had same title films. I'm going to guess Gladiator.
Ooh, that's a very good guess, but no, it's not. It's not that.
All right. And I have a question.
Yes.
The new year has been brought in by the ball dropping in New York since 1907. Except for 2 years. When and why was it skipped for those 2 years?
Was it during World War II, one of them?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they wanted the city to be dark?
Yeah, I would think, after, just going on with what Lori said, after Pearl Harbor, like the end of 41 into 42, they probably skipped that, right?
42 and 43.
Okay. 42 and 43. Yeah. All right.
Very good. All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We have a few minutes left. If you'd like to give us a quick call, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this I?
It is you.
Well, this is Sacramento Slim. I've got a couple of answers, possible answers. Julie Jones for the name starting with the same letters.
That's a great guess, but no, not that. It's a more ethnic name. I will give you that.
Laura Lee?
No.
Okay. My other question is, it's a small world for the Disneyland original?
No. No. I would have guessed that as well, but it is not. It's a small world.
Well, we got trapped on it once.
I'm so sorry.
I did therapy for years. I also have a cultural question. There are 43 bowl games scheduled this year. This is not sports. Two parts. One is only one of the games is actually not in the one of the 50 states. And part two, two states are tied for the most bowl games. I would like anyone can get those.
And how many do the two states have that have the most?
Well, I'll give you a hint. They both have 8.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Is one of them Florida?
One of them is Florida.
Okay.
Is one of them California?
No, I thought it would be, but it's not even close.
Texas.
Texas is the other. Very good.
Good job.
And then one is not in the United States.
Yes, and the bowl is named after the place where it's not. I mean, the place where it's played. But not
is it on Mars? Named after the Mars bar? Not Mars. Huh?
no Mars games.
So is the bowl game, is it in a foreign territory or country?
Yes.
How about Guam?
Good guess, but they don't have a stadium.
Is Lori sort of kind of right? Is it in the Pacific?
He's on the wrong part of the he's in the wrong ocean. But
okay. How about Puerto Rico?
Closer.
Is it? Oh, I was going to say.
I don't want to take up any more time. But it's the Nassau Bowl in the Bahamas.
Oh, in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Well, you did great on those Texas and Florida answers, and Happy New Year. And by the way, 7 o'clock should be the time for this show. I'm missing
thank
dinner.
You.
Oh. Thank you for taking the time to call in. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Happy Sacramento New Year. Slim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, from your mouth to God's ears, whoever that is. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, Happy New Year, all. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Happy New Year.
Hi.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Indeed.
New Year.
All right, we have a bunch of sort of random scattershot answers here. I was first at Disneyland in 1959, and I seem to remember Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. Was that there?
That was not on opening day. I'm sure it was pretty early on, though.
How about the Autopia?
Autopia is one of them, yeah.
Oh, good job.
Because you couldn't get my brother off of it all day. That was great. You had to drag him off screaming. The movie that had two other identically named movies, could that be The Artist?
Ooh.
Oh, an excellent guess, but no, not that.
Well, then Chicago.
Also an excellent guess, but no, not that.
Oh, well, that's my best shot. All right, Sandra, over to you.
Wait, no, I can't read anything. You read.
Oh, okay. Oh, the children's book. You had a good one.
The children's book. I wondered if the children's book on Reddit was Everybody Poops.
It is. Everybody Poops is the right answer. Very good.
Excellent.
Good job.
Excellent.
That's the best answer all night.
You should be very proud of yourselves.
Oh, well. I hope she can be more proud. I think she spent more time reading Dr. Seuss than I did, so I think she remembers where Marco came from.
I'm not sure, but is Marco the one in What Was I Afraid Of?
Not that.
Okay.
I can't absolutely swear that it's not the same character in another book, but it's not the one I have.
All right. And finally, Madness?
Is that Network?
Oh, that's a great guess.
And it's not Network. Good
not
guess.
Network.
All right, well, that's all we got.
Love the show.
Love it. 5 o'clock is fine.
We'll be there whenever.
We'll eat. See y'all.
No, thanks. Happy
Bye.
New Year.
Hey, you too. Bye.
Lori, is Madness, is it also a 70s era?
No. Before. Earlier.
Before.
There's a rock group named Madness.
And I don't think they did the soundtrack to this. It's not the silent. I'll give you the let me see. The silent film is Yes, I Can See Now.
Is Madness Bridge on the River Kwai?
Yes, it is. Ha. Very good.
Oh,
I
very
pulled
good.
That out of the yes. back of my brain. Yay.
Yeah. Good brain.
Good job.
Thank you.
There's just three left.
Good movie.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matters.
Well, hey, this is Hal up in Fremont. How are you doing?
Good, Hal. Thanks.
Good. I had Madness, Madness, Bridge of the River Kwai.
Oh, so, I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's what we're all here for. Your silent movie, though, isn't that The Tramp? Yes, I can see now.
It is The Tramp, but that's not the name of the what movie
you're
is.
You're right, Hal. You're right. I give all credit to Hal because it would never have occurred to me had Hal not said it. You're right, Hal. It's City Lights.
It is. Good work, okay. Dean and Hal.
Yep. Got it.
I can see now is a perfect
good
last
job,
line
Hal.
For that. Yeah.
Staying in that category, I guess I get to live the rest of my life as a schmuck. Is that Goodfellas?
It is. Goodfellas is I get to live out the rest of my life as a schmuck. Suddenly speaking Yiddish. I like that.
two films, the same title. Best Picture, the Sandra Bullock movie, The Crash, wasn't there one also in 1960?
Good question.
That's a very good guess, but no.
Wow. Mm. Okay, I thought there was the same one in 96, but that's okay. Hummingfish, is that The Lorax?
It is The Lorax, yes.
Good. Great.
Good.
Should have known
that. I think I saw it on Mulberry Street. Is that where Marco is from?
That is Marco. Yes, I saw it on Mulberry Street. Very good. He's the main character.
Sweet. Finishing out my list. Storybook Land, was that the Disneyland ride that was open?
The Storybook Land canal boats. I will give that to you. Yes.
Good
yes.
job.
Good job. There's one left.
It's cleaning up.
Yeah.
that's all I got.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great show as always. Happy New Year.
All right. I guess we better clean up here. So, Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. The last remaining ride on opening day at Disneyland was Snow White's Enchanted Wish. Mm-hmm. Every other one was gotten. And the ghost town that is also technically still a world capital is Plymouth, Montserrat in the Lesser Antilles, which was destroyed by a volcano in 1995.
Okay. And Laurie.
Okay, we have Hark the Herald the Angels Sing was composed by Mendelssohn to commemorate Gutenberg's invention of movable type in the printing press. Amazingly enough, the SNL hosts who are not as old as Betty White, but are almost as old, were Ruth Gordon, who hosted when she was 80, and Helen Mirren hosted when she was 65. And the only last line we don't have is, yes, I'd rather be dead than living with you for all the things you've done. I know I should hate you, but I don't. I pity you. Dana, you got it?
Nope.
Cameron?
It's not arsenic and old lace, is it?
No, it's the sweet smell of success.
Burt
Lancaster and Tony Curtis movie. Okay. And that's for me.
Okay. The most common first and last name combination in the U.S. that began with the same letter, for the woman, that's Maria Martinez. Martinez. The Dr. Seuss character is the only one nobody got. Morris McGurk is If I Ran the Circus. The last winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to have at least two films with the same title made previously, that's Million Dollar Baby.
Really?
2004, 1941, and 1934. The 1941 one starred Ronald Reagan, believe it or not. Anyway, my thanks to Cameron Shaw, teacher cinematographer, Laurie Fisher from Dalba Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My big thanks to David Latulipe, and welcome back, David. And thanks, everybody, for taking the time to call in and tune in. We appreciate it very much, and we do hope you will join us next Sunday at 5 p.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great new year. Bye-bye.
If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's gotta be this or that.